with the Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. We're going through the book of Galatians. Now, the book of Galatians is the theme of the book, really, is a book that's saying that we're saved by grace and we're kept by grace. All right? That our salvation is kept by grace. It has nothing to do with the law. And we're going to see that. We're going to see that throughout this study. 2 weeks ago, we started the book of Galatians. We took a look at an overview of the New Testament to get us a better understanding of the purpose of the book of Galatians. I don't have time to go through that every week when we do that. However, the message, I believe, is on the internet. So if you're interested, it's available to you. But the book of Galatians we're going to look at, it's going to talk about how we live for Christ in this present evil world. It's going to teach us about grace. We covered verse 1 through 5 2 weeks ago, and now we're looking at verse 6. So, Galatians chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye receive, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for this day. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for the message you've given to me this morning, Lord. I pray as we come together, we come to meet with you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned this morning, we have a message that is, it's a simple message. It's a simple message, however, I say it's simple, many people just don't receive it. For some reason, they just don't get it. I mean, it's very clear in the Word of God, and we're going to take a look at that, but many just, they just can't see it, and they ignore the plain words of Scripture. We looked at verse 1 through 5. We looked at Paul's message of the risen Christ. How he tells us that his message was not from man, but from Christ. We discussed how the Apostle Paul, we discussed his conversion, how he was a persecutor of the church, and now he was preaching the gospel as an apostle. You know, this caused many to question his apostleship, not only because he was preaching, but he was preaching to the Gentiles. This was a message, this was different from the other 12. Their goal was primarily, or the ministry primarily, to Israelites, but the Apostle Paul, he's apostle to the Gentiles. So Paul defends this by telling them his message was not from the 12. It wasn't from man, but it was from Jesus Christ. He had authority in his message. Here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, here, the message that we preach is not my opinion, is not from man, but it's from Jesus Christ. It's from the Word of God. It's from this perfect book that we have. Hey, I have nothing to be ashamed of. I have no reason to back down. I have no doubts that I have the truth. And it's not because I'm smart. It's because it's clear. It's in the Word of God. The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What we preach here, it's in the book. And we tell you and ask you and plead with you to go home and to check. Search the Scripture and see if these things be true that we preach to you. You know, we preach the book, and if you show me somewhere where I'm wrong, let me know. Because I don't want to stand up here and people thinking, man, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. No, if it's in the book, then you'll persuade me and show me, hey, you're preaching something wrong. And we had a good time in Sunday school this morning. We had some questions and just had a good time. A good time. You missed it if you weren't here. The next thing that we stated about Paul's message, it was a message of grace that brought peace. You know, the message that man has, And we find throughout the book of Colossians a message of works. A works-based salvation or a performance-based salvation. And I want you to understand, a performance or works-based salvation does not bring peace. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that we're always going to be frustrated. We're going to frustrate the grace of God because we can never attain a performance that's good enough to reach the standard of God. You can't lay your head down at night on a pillow and know that you have a home in heaven if you're basing your salvation upon your works. You just can't, because there's no way. You know, we would have to complete all the law and obey all the law in order to be saved. No man can do that. We all fall short. You know, many of us, before we receive the gospel of grace, we struggle with having peace because your religion couldn't bring that. Now, I praise the Lord. I grew up in a pastor's home. I got saved at 6 years old. So I've learned the Bible my whole life. I've been taught the Word of God. That I haven't been brought into false doctrine or false religion. And so I've had that peace. But I know that many of you here say, "Hey, I struggle with trying to live a good not life and try to meet the standards and I realize it's never going to bring peace." Last thing we covered is Paul's message brought deliverance. It brought deliverance from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, it says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Hey, we have grace through the redemption grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood is very important. That blood that's stated there in your Bible, it's understand that, hey, that's how we are forgiven from our sins by grace. It delivers us from the bondage of sin, gives us a new home in heaven, gives us a new Father, which is God, gives us a new purpose in life, which is to glorify God in our bodies, which are His. That our job, once you get saved, once you receive the gospel of grace, your job is to glorify God by your life. Paul preached this to the Galatians, and it's the same message that we preach today. Same message that's needed today. This was a message they received. This is a message that we have received if you called upon Jesus Christ, your Savior. And now we're going to look this morning at some of the warnings and rebukes from the Apostle Paul. Here in this passage of Scripture, Paul uses some strong language, some language of rebuke. In verse 6. Verse 6 says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Find that Paul marvels. He marvels. This is something that it's a shock to him. It surprises him. Now, we read the beginning of the verse. It says that he's shocked. Now, it's something that he really doesn't understand. He can't believe. Well, what can he not believe? Can't believe the fact that he can't believe that they have been removed from him, which gave them the gospel. Now, what I want you to understand here is it doesn't say that he's shocked the fact that they were removed. I mean, this is something that Paul, I'm sure, has seen before. It's something that I've seen before. People that receive the grace of God, but yet they don't seem to follow. They seem to be led on by false doctrines and false teachers. But I think it's more the fact that Paul is saying here that they were so soon removed. That here the Galatians, that they were a fickle people. They were people that they're double-minded. One way they believe this, and the next minute they believe something else. That they've been duped. They were removed. Now, it's sad to see this. That people, that they've received the gospel from Paul, and now they've turned from him, and they believe a lie. That's what's going on in Galatia. Is these false teachers, these Judaizers, they were teaching the law plus grace. That you must keep the law to remain saved. They believe, though, it's grace that saves, but then you have to keep the law, and you have to keep these different ceremonies, religious things, and things like, and laws to be able to stay saved. But our salvation not based upon performance or law keeping. These were all things that Paul had taught them before. He said, "I've taught you this before. This is something I'm repeating, something I've said in the past." I mentioned last Sunday night the importance of doctrine. You know, that if we don't teach doctrine, that is Bible truth, the truth of God's Word, that we preach the Bible. If we don't preach doctrine, then false teachers, you know, will come in and how the Apostle Paul puts it in chapter 3, he said they'll bewitch you. They'll bewitch you and get you to believe false doctrine. You know, we find that people, they get saved. They get saved by grace, but then what happens is they get confused. They begin to get taught false doctrine, and it takes away their joy. It takes away their freedom. It brings them back into bondage under the law. If you try to place yourself back in the law, you realize you can't live up to God's standards, and you won't have that joy. Now, Paul reminds us that they were soon removed from him. You know, we find they were double-minded. I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 11. Verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." You know, that's why we had the church, that's why we have pastors, that's why we have evangelists. So you can come here and you can hear the Word of God preached, and you can get a foundation, a solid foundation upon the rock, upon doctrinal truth, that when these false teachers, when they come in, when they creep in, that we won't be tossed to and fro like children, not being matured in the faith. That's why it's important. Because if you're not, if you don't understand the Word of God, if you don't have a solid foundation, then you won't be able to stand. You'll fall. We find that, you know, the Israelites throughout Bible history, you look back and you find how they were soon removed from following God. In fact, in Exodus chapter 32, verse 8, it says, "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed unto it, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Here Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments. He comes back down, and they were already soon removed. They are already turned away, turned aside. Here, God led him across on dry ground over the Red Sea. God provided for him manna from heaven. God was taking care of him. But they were so soon turned away from God. Find that the Apostle Paul was seeing this also. He's seen this also in the Galatians. They received the gospel of grace, but yet they were so soon removed. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so." Here, the Israelites, this was their history, this was their past. They turned away so quickly, turned away from the truth. They turned away with what they had received in following God and obeying God. And yet, you know, they just turned. You know, how often does that happen in our churches? How often does it happen in our own lives that we're following God and we're serving God, we witness God's greatness and the blessings of God, but then we soon forget and we begin walking in our own way? Paul marveled the fact that they were soon removed. This next thing I want you to see is Paul. I want you to see what Paul did not marvel at. All right. One thing I don't think he marveled at is the fact that they were removed. I think this is something he's seen before, but that they were so soon removed. And the second thing that he did not marvel at is the fact that there were false teachers that came in. In verse 6, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, But there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You see, Paul knew and he understood the work of Satan, that he's deceiving people, bringing people back into bondage with false religion. And Paul knew all about this. Because before he got saved, he was going around killing Christians. He was going around persecuting the church. And he thought that he was doing God a favor. In the name of religion, he was persecuting the church. And so he knows all about how Satan can use religious men. How Satan can use religion into deceiving people and getting people to believe a lie. Satan's at work. Those that receive the grace, the gospel of grace of God, better watch out. That's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying there are some that trouble you. There are false teachers, there are false prophets, there are false gospels that are out there. And he said there are some people that are going to trouble you. Those that pervert the gospel. First thing we understand is what the gospel is. You know, it's sad that a lot of Christians have no clue what the gospel is. They heard the term, they know the term, they've heard it, but they don't really know what the gospel is. Well, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel, it's called the gospel of grace. It's the good news, right? The good news of what? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 15:4. He tells us what the gospel is. It's a death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That He paid for our sins in full. And that's the gospel. Most Christians don't know that. But they all do. That is the gospel. This is Paul's doctrine. And it said that many have been removed from Paul, the doctrine of Paul, what he gave him, the gospel, into another gospel. Then Paul makes it very clear here that it's not actually another gospel. He says here, which is not another. All right, Paul clears that up so there's no confusion, that there's not more than one way to heaven. There's not many roads that lead to heaven, that there's only one way. He said, no, there's not another gospel. There's a so-called other gospel, but he says, no, it's not another. And then he goes even further and makes it clear in verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As he said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He said, if I preach a different gospel, if an angel from heaven preached another gospel, if anybody preached another gospel, he said, let him be accursed. He said, what's that mean? He said, being damned to hell. He said, don't listen to them. They're accursed. Now notice that it says an angel from heaven. You know, by the way, just going to throw this in here. You may have a Mormon knock on your door. You know, and they come to your door and they want to show you a new gospel. You know, they want to show you the Book of Mormon. But you know where the Book of Mormon was received from? The angel Moroni. Alright? Right here. I mean, clear as day. If you receive another gospel from an angel, let it be accursed. False gospel was infiltrating the church. It was a gospel of works. This was the gospel. This is how they perverted the gospel, by adding works to the grace of God. This is all through the book of Galatians. I just want to show you a couple scriptures that just makes it clear. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. It says that works of the law are under the curse. All right, and he says that, hey, the law, if you're under the law, you're under the curse. You're under the curse of sin because the law cannot save. In fact, it says, curses everyone that continueth not in all things. When I first read that, I go, does that mean we're to continue in the law? Continue in all things? But what it's saying there, he's saying that, hey, if you're going to be under the law, then you better fulfill all the law. And then he says, by the way, nobody can fulfill all the law. Says that no man is justified by the law. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even that we believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, and not the works of law, for by the works of law shall no flesh be justified. I mean, these verses are just so clear. It's so clear that we are not justified by the law. It's so clear that, hey, we cannot be saved by following the law. You ask the majority of people, religious people out there, and you tell them, how can I receive eternal life? How can I get to heaven when I die? They say, well, just follow the law. Just follow the law. Hey, can it get any clearer? Can you get any clearer than saying that you cannot be justified by the works of law, only by faith in Jesus Christ? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. Here, Apostle Paul's telling him, you've received the grace of God. How can you turn back to those weak and beggarly elements? How can you turn back to your old ways? How can you turn back to following those ceremonies and those religious rituals? He said, they can't save. That's just trying to bring yourself back in bondage. That's trying to take the joy away from your salvation. That's trying to frustrate the grace of God. And he explains, no, don't believe the perversions. Don't believe the false teachers. No, you need to continue in this doctrine. Continue in the gospel of grace. It's by grace that we're saved, and it's grace that our salvation is kept. Ephesians 1:7, whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. It's grace through the blood of Christ alone that He's paid in full for our salvation, that we've been saved by the grace of God. Now, these false teachers, they've perverted the gospel. I hope you got this. How did they pervert the gospel? By adding the law to grace. All right? Just so you got that clear. All right? He said they perverted the gospel by trying to add the law to grace. Now, what did he say? He said they, in verse 7, it says, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of grace. Who here thinks a pervert is a good thing? Nobody, right? You don't want to be called a pervert. You know, that's not a good term. Of course that's not a good thing. Well, this is the word that Paul uses to those that messed with the gospel of grace, to those that added to it, to those that preached grace plus the law. He said they perverted the gospel. You know what that makes them? Makes them gospel perverts. They're gospel perverts. They perverted the gospel of grace. They've added the law. It's a perversion. Paul warns against these gospel perverts. I've had people get upset with me. They've emailed me. They've wrote me letters. And they tell me, I think you're too mean. You're too mean to these other churches or these other, you know, people, you know. And, you know, they say, you know, they love the Lord. I said, well, what do you mean? You know, I don't say this, but I think this. What do you mean? They're perverts. They've perverted, they messed with the gospel of grace. They're sending people to hell. Hey, they might mean well, but so did the Apostle Paul as he was persecuting the church, as he was killing Christians. He thought he was doing God a favor. These men and women that pervert the gospel, these gospel perverts, the Bible says that, hey, they may mean well, but guess what? Let them be accursed, he said. Paul warns the Galatians of gospel perverts. There are some that trouble you. They preach another gospel. You know, I'm glad my daughter's not in here. We preached a revival in Sydney, and she made a notebook. She had a big notebook, and she took all the missionary cards and tracts, and she cut them and pasted them and put them in this book. She made like a prayer book, you know, and it's really neat. You know, she colored all around it. And we were leaving this one day to go, and she said, "Oh, I forgot my notebook." So I went into the house, I grabbed the notebook, and I opened it up, and I'm like, "Oh, this is really neat." And I'm flipping through, and then I flipped this one page, and she grabbed all the tracts and all that off the wall at the church. All right. Well, she grabbed one thing. She thought it was a tract, or thought it was a missionary card, but it was one of those sex offender cards. And she had it glued right in the thing, like colored all around it, you know. And I'm like, you know, because evidently the church had posted it on the wall, you know. And I said, "Well," I go, "Celia, you don't really want this one in here." I go, this is, and I told her, it's a warning. This is just to warn you. To warn you of danger, all right? That there's a pervert that's in the area. And it is there to warn people. You know, that's why they're there. That's why they send those cards out, to warn people in the area, of someone moving in the area. Warn you of possible danger. Well, that's what we're doing here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. We're warning you of the gospel perverts. We're warning you of the danger that's around. We're warning you, hey, if they preach anything other than the grace of God, he said, let them be accursed. Hey, they're perverts. They're gospel perverts, is what the Bible says. As I mentioned before, there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, it says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. It says, why? It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. A pastor, he is to protect sheep by warning them, by fighting off false teachers. Hey, what kind of parent is going to let a pervert around his children? Right? What kind of shepherd is going to let wolf near his sheep? What kind of preacher is not going to warn his church about false teachers? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to show you what the Word of God says. I'm doing exactly what the Apostle Paul did. Hey, most churches won't warn people. Instead, they're afraid. They're afraid. They just praise. They call them their brothers and sisters. Now Paul, he uses some strong words. Hey, we don't separate from false teachers out of hate, but out of love. To show them the error in their gospel. To show them the error in their message. Hey, if we just get along and say, yeah, we're brothers and sisters, everything's okay. You know? Then first of all, I'm not teaching you that they're preaching a false gospel, and I'm not teaching them that there's an error, there's something wrong with their message. Last thing I wanted to show you is seeker-sensitive or Christ-sensitive church. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ." Apostle Paul, he asks this question. Now, obviously the answer is no, he's not seeking to please man. He's seeking to please God. There's a popular movement that's out in America. It's among evangelicals. It's called a seeker-sensitive movement. What this basically is they seek to please man in order to an attempt to win them to Christ. But the problem is with this idea is what pleases man, his flesh, his pride, his sinful will, does not please Christ. Heard a preacher say, if a Christian is a man pleaser, then he's a God displeaser. You're going to try to please man, then I guess I'm going to displease God. I'm not here to please man. Yes, I like to be liked. Yes, I like to have friends. Yes, I like that kind of thing. But I'm not going to, and Paul is not going to, he's not going to pervert the gospel. He's not going to corrupt the gospel in attempt to become men pleasers. Apostle Paul is not a politician. not going to pervert the gospel. He does not serve man. He says, I'm a servant of Christ. If I seek to please man, then I'm no servant of Christ. Lighthouse Baptist Church is a Christ-sensitive church. We're sensitive to Jesus Christ. We're sensitive to the gospel message and what we've received of Jesus Christ. We don't pervert the gospel. And we're going to warn you of the gospel perverts. You know, we love people. We want to see people saved, just like the Apostle Paul did. Now, I hope you understand and appreciate that we don't hold back, that we give the truth. As I mentioned before, I've received emails and rebukes, you know, but I've also had people in the church and emails and letters saying that, hey, we praise the Lord for your stand. We praise the Lord you're warning people. That you're not like everyone else. Some people will come to our church and say, we've never heard the gospel before. I'm thinking, what are these other churches preaching? If they're not preaching the gospel, what's going on? I pray that you don't leave here this morning and think, man, those people, they think they're the only ones that have the truth. But we do have the truth. We're not the only ones. We didn't make this stuff up. I didn't write this myself, all right? This is simply, I'm preaching what the Bible says. You know, the Bible is very clear. And I hope you've seen that this morning. I hope it was clear as day that you've seen, hey, those that add the works unto grace, those that think and teach that, hey, your salvation is kept by doing the deeds of the law, that's not the gospel. That's a perversion of the gospel. First thing that you need to make sure of in your life, that there was a time that you received the gospel of grace alone. You know, if you haven't received the gospel of grace, then you're under the law, which is you're under the curse of the law. That, hey, that you can't get to heaven by following the law, by keeping the deeds of the law. It's only by grace. There must be a time, a moment. We call being born again. It's what the Bible calls it. You know, and that's saying that we're born spiritually. You're born once physically, and you're born spiritually. And I ask a lot of people that question. They say, well, I say, well, when did you receive Jesus Christ? Well, I've been going to church for a long time. When did you see Jesus Christ? Well, you know, I've been taught the Bible my whole life. No, it's not. I said, when is your spiritual birthday? My daughter's birthday was just the 7th. I don't know, was that Thursday or Friday? That was her birthday, second birthday. You know, we celebrated birthday. That was her physical birthday. That was the day that she was born. Well, there needs to be a day that you receive Jesus Christ, your Savior. It's not a process of time. It was one moment that you got down and you realized that you were a sinner. You realized that you couldn't make it to heaven on your own. And you finally said, I'm going to trust you and trust your precious blood on the cross and that alone for my salvation. And then you become a child of God. And guess what? You never lose that because you're saved by grace and you're kept by grace. It's the grace of God. That's what Paul teaches here. Next thing is, who are you pleasing? Pleasing yourself, a self-pleaser, a man-pleaser, or a Christ-pleaser? Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Who are you living for? And that's the only way you can have joy, when you live for Christ. It's when you walk with Christ. Let's go ahead and let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you. I thank you for your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, as we preach your word, Lord, we stand boldly and warn others of those who have perverted the gospel, Lord. I pray, Lord, they don't see any hatred or anything like that, but we see a concern, a burden for the lost, to warn people of the false doctrine, the false teachers that are out there. Lord, I do pray, Lord, that that we can stand upon the doctrines of your word, that we're not beguiled, that we're not bewitched unto another gospel, but we understand the gospel of grace, that we can have the peace that we ought to have in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.